Here we go. Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're talking hoop coming up in 20 minutes. Fan After Dark's already in, throwing heat in the bullpen. And their show coming up 7 to 11. It's time now for Woolchuck's Chuck Wagon. Zachary?
All right. We will talk some more Mavs, but we did find out from Eddie Sefko, Najee Marshall's going to return tonight after dealing with an illness. But he will be limited to about 15 minutes. So the others, Doncic, Lively, Kleba, Powell, Exum, we know they're out. But in regards to Dante Exum, Jason Kidd said he could return during the Mavericks road trip. He did emphasize the word maybe in reference to Exum returning during the road trip, but he's been making good progress from his injury that happened during training camp. Now, from a Rangers perspective, we've talked a lot about the new TV deal, which is awesome, but one of the relievers that were on the market that had been linked to Texas, closer Carlos Estevez, he's not going to be coming to Arlington as he is signing a deal with the Kansas City Royals. So there's another one that, no closer here in Texas. They're going to have to look for other options for that role, so Carlos Estevez will not be doing that.
Ouch.
He's going to KC. Then Max Scherzer. Some rumors heating up with Scherzer on where he could land, and it's sounding more and more likely that he's going to be going north of the border to Canada, as the Toronto Blue Jays are the favorite to land Max Scherzer's services. The Mets are also still in talks with the polar bear Pete Alonso, and Ryan Stanek, another reliever, is off the market. He will be joining the New York Mets as well. So a lot happening as we get closer and closer to pitchers and catchers reporting. But former Ranger Max Scherzer, I think he is probably going to end up with the Toronto Blue Jays. Major League Baseball also, they announced, my gosh, $12.1 billion in revenue this past year.
Cha-ching.
I wanted to say the sport's dying. That was a pretty good year. League is incredibly healthy right now. Revenue going up more than 33% in the last 10 years. So Major League Baseball still cranking out that coin, especially after a World Series that featured two of their biggest markets, the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Yeah, they got to be on their heels. And, you know, and best of luck to Scherzer, best of luck to the Blue Jays. I'm sure there's some country music fans with the Rangers that are excited to be able to play their favorite songs in the Rangers weight room once again. I would not be in any hurry. I think Scherzer had about 10 good weeks combined last year, none of them before June or after August. You know, I think that Mother Nature has told him, Father Time, undefeated.
Time. Yeah.
But, hey, you know, I guess it's worth it for if you really need some starting pitching. You know, there's not a lot of great options out there at this point. I'm sure he'll get a deal and probably make a half dozen starts for him.
Yeah, you just never know. But we do wish you the best, Scherzer, and we'll always remember the 2023 World Series champion that you are with our Rangers.
I remember always getting so excited, and then it would be a mid-start, and he'd be hurt again.
So, like, it was the nerve, too. It's like the nerve that just never really, it seemed like that kept being aggravated as well, and I don't know if that's something that you can really ever help. Let's go to college football here. I loved this clip that I saw going viral yesterday, and Emeka Egbuka in a draft, and Brian and I have stressed this, where there's a lot, like, you're kind of, I've used the phrase, like, you're dodging landmines. There's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of players that, hey, I like this. They've got this type of skill set, but maybe they're just not quite as consistent as you'd like to see. One guy, I have no question that he's going to come in and be a good NFL player, is Emeka Egbuka.
Yeah.
He's always been. He's been playing with Marvin Harrison Jr., right? He's been playing with Jackson Smith and Jigba. This past year's the sensation for the freshman dandy, Jeremiah Smith. But he's always just gone about his role. Cerebral, super smart, good route runner, strong, consistent hands for the most part. And here he was, right before the game-clinching play on the sideline, they throw on 3rd and 11 to Jeremiah, 3rd and Jeremiah, Emeka Egbuka, speaking it into existence to his quarterback, Will Howard.
We need to run a go ball on 29. Look at this. Look, go back. Look at the inside leverage he has and see if he's attacking him.
Here they come.
Heavy pressure. Howard delivers downfield. It's Smith. He's got it! Jeremiah Smith had a touch in the second half until that.
But they went zero, meaning they blitzed 7. They left everybody on an island, and Ohio State thinks that's a mismatch with Jeremiah Smith against anybody. Not only that, but the corner, Christian Gray, gave him a cushion.
I just love that. It's like Amari going and telling Dak in the huddle, like, no, dude, we're not running that. I've seen the coverage. If they're going to go ahead and line up on the line here and jam me, I'm going to get a free release and go ahead and throw this up. And what happens? Boom, touchdown. Emeka Egbuka, not Chip Kelly. He's the one that's looking over at his quarterback. Hey, this is the coverage. We need to run a go ball on 29. And all it did was seal a national championship. That's my dude right there.
I mean, it's one thing to recognize it in the middle of the game, like we have an opportunity to throw a go ball. The cojones to call that and throw that on 3rd and 11 in the way that they did. You know, the game's hanging in the balance. You connect on that play, you win. You don't, you're turning it over to your defense, who I felt was kind of on their heels at that point.
They were. All the momentum seemed like it was with Riley Leonard and Notre Dame, and here you go. Good call, good read. And ultimately, it shows the intelligence here from Emeka Egbuka, who's had to play really all the positions there during his time at Ohio State, all three spots, X, Y, Z, could have went on the outside. Really dominant slot player, but big fan of his game, and that right there showcases intelligence.
And that's a 4-year guy too, you know. So that's a guy who, like, the from a football acumen standpoint, it makes sense that he sees the game a particular way, and that's another guy that is definitely you're open to. You know, like I understand that all these first round grades or whatever, and I saw Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl guy, talking about how some teams have only like 9 or 10 first round grades, but it just seems like there's plenty of good players outside of that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. There are absolutely
there's good players.
Yeah. The thing about it is, I just think it's going to be when we get going into the actual draft and we'll start to hear how some of these teams, it's they call the line season and all with the how people building their boards and stuff like that. But I'll be interested to see how they have these offensive linemen rated. Because that to me could be an area where you could potentially miss and make a mistake and not get the right guy.
And that
scares me, not only for the Cowboys, but scares me for some other teams as well, you know, that they're going to like, well, no, we're going to take this guy. Man, it just does not work out. And you probably left the opportunity, you know, you let somebody go off the board or somebody, you know, drafts behind you that takes a better player. And that's always... That's the thing you worry about the most.
I think he's relatively pretty safe, but you're right about all these offensive linemen.
That's the thing that's scary. I think these wide receivers, I think you could find the guy you want. I think you could find the type of guy you're really interested in. I just have so many questions about these offensive linemen, and it's really scaring me right now, to be honest with you.
Well, Michigan, they might be in some more trouble here. Ross Dellinger of Yahoo has reported about the sign stealing. Apparently, looks like Michigan's kind of admitted to some of this. In its response, the school acknowledges that some impermissible in-person scouting appears to have occurred, though less than the NCAA claims, and that some recruiting violations occurred as well. All of the wrongdoing, it says, that will be addressed in the committee on infractions hearing, and it will advise committee members of self-imposed penalties. Michigan believes that the COI will see that actual evidence was not borne out and that the NCAA's initial assessment of the resulting public narrative or the approach taken in the notice of allegations. They're pushing back, saying like they're overreaching. There's not much here. Apparently, there were deleted text messages between Sharone Moore and Connor Stallions.
It is. Deleted text messages right there. Those are cheaters.
Sharone Moore says the only reason they were deleted was because he thought that this would end up, you know, being negative on the team and the players. It would take away from what they were doing. In reality, it could be all part of a massive cover up here.
If you're deleting text messages, you're doing wrong.
Yeah. Why?
Harbaugh got out at the right time.
He did. Harbaugh knew.
He knew. Harbaugh knew exactly what was about to happen.
There are some people in the college football world that think we are about to get some heavy, heavy-handed sanctions here on Michigan. That might include stripping them of that national title.
Nothing worse than that death penalty of 1989 they gave to SMU.
Nothing worse. And, you know, Penn State certainly didn't get anywhere close.
Yeah, they came back from it.
Yeah, the stuff that they did for that whole thing with Penn State and all that was ridiculous as well.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like it was some type of Michigan staffer that is the one that alerted the powers that be, I guess, with the NCAA.
Whistleblower?
Yeah. So it was somebody on staff. So it's like
somebody got let go.
If that's the case, I don't know. I don't know the details if it was somebody that was let go
with Michigan anymore,
or yeah, probably not with them anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
If somebody in there knows about it, more than one person knew it.
Yeah, no doubt. And that
I wouldn't want to be that guy.
No, you do not want to be that guy. Absolutely not.
Your name's Mud.
No.
Yeah, you're marked now forever.
You are.
You have to be head on a swivel. You might have to change names.
Yeah.
Alias. Get out of Dodge.
Go work for Ohio State, the only place that'll have you.
You don't bleep with college football fans, man.
No, you don't. You don't. And especially if they ended up stripping them of that natty. I mean, it'd kind of be like, hey, we won it. We saw it with our own eyes, right? But be a heartbreaking move there for the Wolverines. Okay, let's go to Julian Edelman's podcast. And they had Matt Patricia on. We can't call him Fat Patricia anymore.
He's skinny.
He's not fat.
He's skinny guy now.
Matt Patricia he found soda or he found Ozempic. I don't know, but he's okay. Super skinny man now. He's no longer fat.
Who does he pass the baton to, though? Because you don't just give the baton to nobody. I would like to put in a nomination for Fat Rule in Nebraska.
I don't appreciate that very much. He needs to stay in the NFL.
You're doing good work, you know? As long as we're inside this trend and in the trust tree.
I'm sure we can find another assistant coach that's big.
How about our coordinator with the Steelers? Offensive coordinator, the guy.
Arthur Smith.
Arthur Smith.
But we need a fat Matt here.
That would have to be Fart Smith. So
that's why you went that rule, just because keeping the first name.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I see what you're talking about.
We'll do some research.
I mean, it's not Fat Eberflus, man's in shape.
It's not, yeah.
It's not Fat LaFleur.
No. No,
I like this. Yeah,
it's not Fat LaFleur.
I think Rule might be the only play you got.
I think it's Fat Rule.
Yeah, we got to see if there's another big Matt in the NFL that they can apply here. Here's Matt Patricia talking on the Games with Names podcast. Tremendous Junior Seau story in New England.
Bill says to me, "Where's Junior? Give him a call, find out." So, "Hey, June, where are you?" He's like, "Fiji, the island." "Yeah, surfing." "Okay, well, Bill wants to bring you in. You ready to go or what?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm ready." "How fast can you get here?" He's like, "I don't know. I'll get there as soon as I can." So I go back to Bill and I was like, "Junior's in Fiji surfing."
"That's far."
"Junior flies in, pass physical, get on a plane, fly to Seattle." He's like, "Buddy, what's the plan?" "You're not playing. You're actually probably going to be active for the game because everybody's hurt." We get into the game. So I think it was Gary Guyton.
Gary Guyton.
Gary takes out Brew.
Brentley Fryer.
So now Teddy's down. I'm like, "Junior, you got to go in." He's like, "What?" I'm like, "We're out of bodies. You got to go." Put Junior out there right before the half. Deion Branch catches like a check. He goes for like 60-some yards. We have like 11 missed tackles on the play. And Junior misses him so bad on one. He goes blowing by me. I grab him. I literally throw him back. I'm like, "Go get him." He still runs. So I throw him back in there. He takes off. Game's over. We're staying in California. It was back-to-back game. So we get in the meeting on Wednesday. We were done practicing in pads at this point. Bill's like, "Junior, we missed Deion like 4 times. He's got to practice his tackling. Don't bring his pads to practice." So I'm like, "Hey, Junior, bring your pads to practice." He's like, "What?" "Yeah, you had some missed tackles. It wasn't good on tape." Bill wants to do some tackling after practice. He goes, "Does he realize I'm like the NFL's all-time leading tackler?" And I was like, "Yeah, well, you'd have one more if you just tackled him before the half." So I'm like, "Get your pads on, let's go." He gets his pads. And so I'm like, "Hey, Benny, I need your help post-practice."
Ben Jarvis Greenhills.
Love Benny. Benny's like, "Yeah, no problem. All right, well, we're going to do one-on-one tackling you and Junior Seau." I was like, "What?"
Benny says, "Say less."
They're like 10 yards apart. Whistle goes, and Junior's like, "Bow!" Just reels him. Junior looks at me, he's like, "Is that enough? You guys good?" And he's like, "Helmet, I'm pretty sure, is sideways." Like, it's just one-on-one, like, blood sport at this point.
He's a team guy.
Man. Junior, it's awesome. Like, he's already had a Hall of Fame career, does lead the league in NFL history in tackles. And Bill's like, "Let's get him back here. One-on-one drills. Let's go after practice." Boom. Just beating the crap out of Ben Jarvis Greenhills. Okay, I found our guy, Fat Jones. Look up Matt Jones, offensive assistant with the Tennessee Titans. God bless you, Fat Jones. I think this is going to be a home run here. Offensive assistant. Initially was hired in 2023, offensive line assistant as well.
Yeah.
That's a good face right there. Honestly, kind of looks like he could be in the Patricia family.
Yeah, you nailed it there. I was Googling myself. I found Matt Feeney, an assistant defensive backs coach with the Raiders. But he's not in Matt Jones' league.
No. How do you look that up? You look up fat face?
I just looked up assistant coaches named Matt in the NFL.
Oh. I looked up pro coaches named Matt.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you looked up fat coaches.
No, fat no. Coaches.
The problem is you're never going to get a chance to really talk about Fat Jones. Not who's too. Talking about the Titans, the most irrelevant team in the sport, talking about their offensive assistant. offensive line assistant. Like, when are we ever going to get to discuss Fat
Anytime
Jones?
Anytime the Titans are brought up, we just naturally bring up in conversation Fat Jones.
He looks like a more bloated, thicker bearded Liam Cohen.
There, I was just, yes. He's like the heavy Cohen brother, you know?
Like the heavy Cohen brother. Yes.
I mean, one of these pictures is a dead ringer.
Yeah.
If Liam Cohen put on 40 pounds in the offseason, Brian.
Right, there you go.
There he is, maybe 60.
We had their dad out there with second families. Look at us out here.
I think I'm going to stick with Fat Rule, just like personally. You know, this is a personal choice.
He's the most famous, Matt.
He's famous.
Who's a little rotund.
He's famous.
What'd you say earlier? Porky?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
He is sort of frumpy, I would say.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, last thing here in the Chuck Wagon. Big winner if the Chiefs three-peat. I didn't know about this. You're going to realize, oh my gosh, you probably did. The phrase three-peat is actually trademarked.
I think Ipsman Basketball has that.
Legendary Fakers. NBA Fat coach, Riley. Miami Heat, President Pat Riley.
Yeah.
He owns at least 6 live patents for the use of the phrase three-peat. So if indeed the Kansas City Chiefs go ahead and three-peat, Pat Riley is set to make millions of dollars, and he just continues to win.
It's amazing. You can just copyright that or whatever and get paid for the rest of your life. It's just words.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But the three-peat.
I guess he was the first one to ever mention that, and it's a great phrase. I mean, we use it all the time.
We do.
Do we start the conversation in 11 days or whenever that is? That maybe this is the greatest dynasty instead of the Patriots. Is that on the talking points yet?
Yeah, it absolutely will.
We'll get there and we'll say it's premature.
If they win it, no. I mean, the Patriots never three-peated. The Cowboys never three-peated. The Steelers never three-peated. This would be the one and only in NFL history. There's no question to me. It's the greatest dynasty and in the salary cap era.
Speaking of basketball, Eric, what's next?
Yeah, let's crank open a rim sesh. I'll tell you what. Thank God LeBron went basketball and not football. I'll explain why. Plus, what do you think of this potential NBA rule change next in the nation?
Yeah, buddy, welcome back, nation. We're about 20 minutes from chatting with Fred and Blake, see what they have cooking tonight. Fan After Dark coming up 7 to 11. It's time now to talk some hoop with the Chief. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Man, it's 60 degrees outside right now. That sounds amazing. Here's the Chief. Let's hoop it up.
Yeah, looking at the New Orleans weather for next week.
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
High 60s, maybe even touch 70 at some points. It's going to get a little rainy, though, I think. But we're not going to be all super bundled up. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. Were we ever bundled up somewhere?
Vegas, I was pretty chilly.
We were cold. Vegas, yeah.
Arizona. Minnesota was insane. Oh, Minnesota, New York. New York was like 5 degrees. Yeah. Minnesota was minus 10.
Yeah.
You're going back maybe.
Did you guys leave? Because wasn't it all in that mall together? So did you not have to go outside, really?
We went outside Thursday night to go someplace for dinner. Oof. And I'll never forget how mad the patrons were at Ben for opening the door for us because the cold air was blowing inside. And apparently that's a big faux pas in Minnesota to hold the door for somebody because you're letting the cold air inside. He had that thing open for probably 20 or 30 seconds, and half the dining room was furious.
Wow.
See, that happens to me whenever I'm in the sauna.
Yeah.
And you get these guys that, like, that was actually a moment like a year ago where I had to, like, get back into some daily anger management, like, devotional things because I realized, like, I was ready to lose my mind on, like, a 12-year-old kid who just held the door open for too long in the sauna and you're letting all the hot air out. Like, what are you doing?
Are you the dude that
have some common sense? Like, when you're walking in and out of a sauna door, especially when there's people in there, make sure you're just barely cracking enough to slide right out. Like, show some efficiency here. Put a little pep in your step.
And I had one of those moments at Thanksgiving waiting for a fountain soda, and this 12-year-old was just dorking around for like 2 minutes. Finally, his dad came.
You feel the blood boiling, and you're like, okay, this is probably where I need to reset myself.
This is a me problem.
I can't let this.
It's probably more me than him.
Ruin my whole day.
Luckily, the brisket was a 10 out of 10, though, Brian. You know the feeling.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Are you one of those where they pour the water on the rocks?
No. Well, I guess some are more built for that. Some people make the mistake of thinking they're in a sauna that's built for that, and they're pouring water on something that does not need
that's
to have
what I was
water
about to
on
say
it.
You gotta know
and there's signs. People have signs, like places will have signs like don't pour water on it,
yeah,
schmo.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Chief's going to get mad at you. Yeah.
You might get your ass kicked.
I could see Dawson.
I'm serious
though,
about the sauna,
I could see Dawson, though, standing behind that guy with the cup. Was the kid trying to get like three different drinks? Like,
tasting them, like dumping Sprite, it out, tasting it.
And he's trying to combo Sprite and
it's a good
cherry,
pastime as a
cherry
kid.
Drink and all that. What was he trying to do?
I think it was more an issue with him finding the right lid and straw. And he's like,
I'll tell you.
Okay.
And he's just, he's standing where he doesn't need to stand.
There's a guy Gavin would hate. You guys know Biz, Biz Nasty. Paul Biss and that, who does NHL TNT and Spittin' Chicklets podcast.
Had that epic brunch order in Canada.
Okay. Yeah,
been on our show
the audio
before.
Of the brunch order, and he's been on, he has been on the show before.
Yeah.
He asks for samples everywhere he goes. So he will be in line at the ice cream shop, and he's trying to get like as many samples as he can. He's now tried to do this at a Chipotle. They went into Chipotle, and he's like, can I try a little bit of the new brisket that you have? And they're like, okay. So they're putting it in a little cup. He's like, okay, what about the steak? Would you mind if I sampled the steak?
That's a heady play.
You know, so he's samples guy that's going to hold up the line. You would absolutely
You can
lose
only
yourself.
Do that if there's nobody behind you. I did lose it about 6 or 8 months ago at a Cold Stone. This gal, the line was out the door. And she's holding up there with her kid, you know, like, oh, make sure you get what you want.
Can you have some self-awareness here, please? Get it moving.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I always get pissed at Cold Stone whenever they give me the bill.
Have you ever?
And I always think to myself, why didn't we just go to Brahms?
But Cold Stone
would have been a tenth of the price.
Dawson, you ever offer to pay for somebody's food if they'll just get the hell out of the way?
Yes, I have.
I've done that. I've groceries, like people fumbling around for coupons.
Yeah,
I'm like, listen, if you just go, I'll pay for your
grocery. I earned enough money to
put
do
that on me.
Yeah, seriously, I go, just please, you got a few items, just I'll you know, they're trying to like make sure. Where are those coupons? I was, and I'm like,
oh gosh,
I'm sitting there like, no, ma'am, you're not gonna find them, and they're probably not any good anymore. Just I go, ma'am, I'll get that.
Yeah, I just leave the line.
Yeah,
please go.
Pivot.
Please go.
Let's go ahead and cut the lights out, and we'll go ahead and put those kids to bed. The G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when Najee Marshall is not sick, under the weather. He's playing tonight. That's good news. Back in New Orleans.
Man, these illnesses have been major. Like colds that last for 2 weeks, the worst flu of your life. All these are things that are happening to people right now.
Yeah, how's fiance wife doing?
Day five, now she's sitting up in bed. The first 4 days, she just laid on her side and cried, basically.
This flu is real right now.
Yeah, it's the worst flu I've ever seen.
Well, hopefully Najee Marshall's in his bag. Wolchuk mentioned he'll be on a bit of a minutes restriction, but good to get him back for sure. And this is sort of revenge game, redemption time with the disastrous ending to the last game with the Spencer Dinwiddie stuff at the buzzer. Just come on now. Let's go ahead and right these wrongs versus the Pelicans tonight. It'll go a long way for you. Now, elsewhere around the league, we'll get to Adam Silver talking with Dan Patrick about a potential rule change. We'd like to get y'all's thoughts on it. But poor Bronny James, thrown into the line of fire last night. Wasn't in mop-up duty. He was actually getting real rotation minutes in the first quarter, part of the game plan, and he just was all over the Brick Center account. You never want to be on the Brick Center account.
And they wanted to see how the G League work had been going for him.
He was the star of Brick Center's Twitter account last night.
He's going crazy in the G Leagues, though. Be respectful. Yeah. He's going crazy.
Hey, he is going crazy.
Doing Kobe numbers.
So he's never leaving. Yeah, he had 0 points, 0 for 5 from the field, 3 turnovers. And Tyrese Maxey was giving him the business a little bit. Like, he's got a bit of a target on his back. Guys want to, I think, make a point against him.
Yeah.
And here was J.J. Redick after the game talking about why he felt the need to get Bronny in the mix.
Just felt like on a back-to-back, just him giving us energy, I think, was the goal. You know, I maybe put him in a tough spot, you know, flying up yesterday and, you know, nationally televised game and Philly, all that stuff. It's, you know, he didn't play well, but he's been playing great, you know, in the Stay Ready games, and he's been playing great in the G. So I have confidence in him, but obviously didn't provide that at a high level.
Yeah, he just doesn't have the skills to be comfortable, and it's written all over his face and his body language when he's out there. I only saw some highlights of him, but it didn't look much better than his first appearance. Was that opening night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a kid that should have stayed in college and tried to work his way to be a legit second-round pick by the time he got to his senior year in college. But extenuating circumstances, you want to go play with dad, so they're trying to make the most of it. But this just seems like something where it's like, hey, can I get my kid up here for another game?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And that's why this is all really pointed to LeBron. This is not an indictment on Bronny. But you have Stephen A. Smith talking about, he's quoted as saying on First Take today, "I'm pleading with LeBron James as a father, stop this." And I was thinking to myself, man, thank God that LeBron didn't go the football route. Because he'd be trying to get Bronny James on an NFL field right now. Unqualified. And the amount, like, he's getting embarrassed right now on the basketball court, like Tyrese Maxey, you know, Brick Center, all that kind of stuff. But we'd be talking about actual physical endangerment, putting a guy on a football field who doesn't belong there. And you know LeBron would be doing this exact same thing.
Yeah, if he was good enough to get it done.
Yeah, if he was good enough in football as he is in basketball, yeah. And you have Bronny James running around out there, who is like maybe at best a USFL type player, and he's running over the middle, getting clobbered.
I mean,
that's what would be happening.
Delusional sports parenting is very common. You know, a lot of these AAU parents or youth soccer parents feel like their kid is, you know, skilled enough or talented enough to be a pro, but none of them have the leverage that it takes to, you know, put them in those situations, or most of them don't anyway.
Eric, you said it sound like this a little bit.
For Franklin County, it's Bradford, and he's killed, picked up by Coffee County in the end zone. A flag came in.
The flag came in.
Killed.
Oh, no. He got killed out there.
That's exactly right. That is what the play-by-play would sound like if LeBron was a football player and he'd be trying to get Bronny on the field with him.
At 40, he'd be out of the league, man.
Oh, I don't know.
100%.
I mean, I think the kid probably just needs to bail on hoop. You know, like, it's not going well.
The G League? You think
Well, yeah. I mean, as long as it's fun.
Yeah.
Right. But
if he's enjoying it.
Yeah. But I think he would have a much better lifestyle just being LeBron's son and cruising around Los Angeles, having fun and pursuing, I don't know, social media or some sort of entrepreneurial thing.
That's Jordan's kids, man.
Yeah. You know, but hey, basketball's a lot of fun. Yeah. I would just go play it at the Y, though. Just go to your 24-hour fitness pickup games if you love it.
Do you think they should maybe bring up back the heart condition stuff?
I mean, could be timely.
They're already cranking up the excuse machine enough.
I'm just
talking
about
getting on a flight.
I'm just saying, though, could we, like, hey, listen, we've had a little bit of a setback.
I really love it, but it's time to go. A little face saver.
No, a little setback. Like, didn't he have a heart problem?
I'm with you. I think we're on the same wavelength.
Maybe, hey, listen, it's just not allowing me to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And that way it's kind of like, whew.
That's the fallback.
Glad we caught that one, you know?
Yeah, LeBron could go on believing his kid was going to make it to the pros.
His kid got drafted. He got to play with his kid. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got
a heart ailment.
You got to have heart to play on my team. All right, here's Adam Silver with.
I feel so bad for these kids that want to shut it down, and the parents just want it so much. Yeah. And it's like the kids are looking at the parents. They don't even have to hear the parents say it. They know. If I quit, it's going to break his heart.
Yeah. Yeah. That's. I mean, we talk about dad guilt all the time, but kid guilt is real as well.
I think so.
All right. Here's NBA Commissioner Adam Silver floating out an idea of changing up a little bit of the way the NBA goes about how long they play their games.
As we get more involved in global basketball, the NBA is the only league that plays 48 minutes. And I am a fan of 4 10-minute quarters. I'm not sure that many others are. I mean, putting aside what it means for records and things like that, you know, I think that a two-hour format for a game is more consistent with sort of modern television habits. I don't think people in arenas aren't asking us to shorten the game, but I think as a television program, being 2 hours, that's Olympic basketball, is 2 hours, you know, college basketball, of course, is
40 minutes. Yeah, but if you like it, I'd say it has kind of a little bit of a push there.
Yeah, it's such a dramatic change to the game. I mean, I think something like that would have to be talked more about over time.
So,
listen, they could talk about shortening the game all they want. How about just start the damn games on time? You know, like the game is supposed to go on at 7:05. Start the damn game at 7:05. Don't start it at 7:28.
Yeah, those TNT games, notorious for that.
I mean, you're sitting there like, okay, here, I'm locked in, ready to go. Just try and get the damn games to start on time. I mean, I can't stand it. Just like, constantly waiting.
A 6:30 tip is really a 6:45 tip.
I get you. Why do we, if you're telling me it's going to start at 6:30, start the damn thing at 6:30. Throw the ball in the air and let's go.
Now, you will have, like, just aesthetically watching the games. The NBA crowd is generally a late-arriving crowd already, mm-hmm. so there's going to be an adjustment there. If not that that's the end of the world, but just something to consider. You have plenty of these arenas that it takes to the end of the first quarter before that thing looks like it's filled up. And if you start the games actually on time, like NBA fans are going to have to readjust their body clock, so to speak, on when they get to the game. But I'm with you. That is definitely annoying as all heck. But do you guys feel like when you're at home, you wish the games were a little bit shorter?
No.
Two hours instead of, I guess, two and a half or so?
When I'm watching the Olympics, I wish they were a little bit longer. Yeah, you know, I'm like, this is over too quick. Well,
right? Baseball has done some good for me.
I think there's a lot of things that international basketball is actually doing better than American basketball right now, but I don't think one of them is their game time.
Yeah, like
have 30 game seasons and 40-minute games.
Yeah, like I know it's 2.5 hours. Like I think that the game, when it's being played, is paced pretty well. I mean, if they did it, okay, fine.
Yeah,
I get what he's saying.
But
I don't think that that's an issue. Like baseball, you could have a 4-hour game, and it was happening a lot. Like they needed to do something.
Eric, it doesn't sound like he has any real concern of the fans in the arena because he's talking about TV.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about fitting in a 2-hour window in TV. He's looking at what the NFL model is.
Yeah, and he's probably figuring out ways to keep guys healthier. Like if there's some sports science to it and there's significantly less exhaustion, it's worth looking into.
He talked about the viewership stuff there, but I wonder how much of it also is, just mitigating the general mileage. We talk about how long the NBA season is. We're dealing with all sorts of injuries and load management stuff. Could this mitigate that a little bit? 8 less game minutes per game and extrapolating that, how much?
656 minutes.
So, I mean,
that's big.
There's a considerable amount of less wear and tear. I don't know if he's in favor of it, like Patrick was sort of alluding to there, like that's going to be something that can help maybe push this thing over the top. I wonder how many people are just unequivocally against it. He mentioned the numbers aspect of it, too.
Could you get less load management? Are there more fans that are getting to see who they paid for the tickets to see, you know, if all that could happen? But I think a lot of it is just the players asking for more and more free time. You know, they don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to play like the previous generations who were iced up every night. As soon as something's wrong, they're sitting, you know. And I don't think it's making the product that much better at all if they're a little bit fresher. You know, I'd rather see a superstar at 85% of his capacity than a jobber, you know. I think a lot of it is the players and the Players Association getting their way so many times over the last 15 years. Now they're like, hey, let's make the game shorter. Let's make the season shorter, you know. We got a longer All-Star break. You don't have back-to-backs. It's not enough. It's never going to be enough. It's like trying to satisfy a wife when it comes to the NBA Players Association. Ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
So draw the line somewhere, Adam.
Shams reported
she
that...
She can't even satisfy herself, by the way. I just want to let you know. Just let you know, she can't do it by herself.
No lies detected.
I say that respectfully, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I try.
As much as they try.
Yeah.
Thing keeps running out of batteries.
Gotta get that.
Why does it smell like a lifesaver in here?
No, don't smell that. Caitlin Clark will not participate in the NBA All-Star Special 3-point shootout in San Francisco.
Because they're not going to pay her, right?
Wants her first 3-point contest to be at the WNBA All-Star in Indianapolis this summer, which is that's a home game crowd there for her being on the Indiana Fever. And it was also reported that Caitlin Clark is not interested in shooting 3-pointers off a ball rack because her practice regimen consists of only catch and shoot 3-pointers or shots off the dribble. Unless she is persuaded otherwise, she will decline the invitation.
Yeah.
So I wonder how much that had to do with it. Then she wants to unveil her 3-point.
That's common in the WNBA, I think, to not prefer the ball rack, Brian. You know that well.
The ball rack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's true. Yeah. It's just
it's good journalism.
It's not a skill set that a lot of those women are really built for.
Not interested in the ball rack at all.
Oh. If it was just a rack, perhaps.
Possibly. Yes.
It's the ball that's throwing things off.
Many of them
Breast
FC fans.
I'm surprised many of them are catch and shoot.
There he is.
A lot of more pitchers in that league than you would imagine.
Eric Chiafalo with his evening rim session in the G-Bag Nation. Time to catch up with Fred and Blake. We'll see what those guys have cooking for the Fan After Dark coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation, the Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We're getting set for the Fan After Dark. Apparently, the flu cases are getting so bad that North Texas school districts, some of them are shutting down till next week. like attendance is below 70% district wide when it comes to the teachers and students in some of these spots, like ULIS and Comanche ISD, stuff like that. So hopefully everybody feeling all right.
You see that tuberculosis outbreak in Kansas?
No.
Biggest in U.S. history. Biggest in U.S. history.
Even bigger than the days at Tombstone?
Yeah.
What part of Kansas?
We got Lungers
up
there.
Oh, yeah.
I just.
That's you. Y'all better watch out, man.
Oh, hey. Packing up
a lung. Wipe that man down, bro.
Yeah.
Man.
Let us know if you get any symptoms.
There you go, Dawson.
I think I'm up to date on my TB.
Are you?
Vaccinations.
All right, cool.
Not quite sure, but.
Good.
Is that what Val Kilmer died from in Tombstone?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a Lunger.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody be safe out there. I know it's a big youth group night, so I'm hoping the kid doesn't come back with,
you know. Wednesday is a big youth group night.
It is. Yeah.
Sports, spiritually, socially.
It's true.
Wednesday is the night of gathering of young people.
Sure is.
And speaking of that, what's coming up on tonight with the baddies?
With the baddies, with the fatties.
It's also a great haiku hump day night, too.
It's going to be haiku hump day night. Obviously, I heard you guys tease and play with Adam Silver trying to make some changes to the NBA. With all those rules, we'll be getting into that. De'Aaron Fox, maybe being a San Antonio Spur, we'll dive into that. And then what Will McClay signing this extension makes me very excited. I think that's one of the guys that I think most of us in the room feel very good about running this front office, and hopefully his role can continue to grow. And that extension, I think, points towards that.
Is it just me, or does he look like Tyler Perry?
Nailed it. Yeah, it's pretty
similar. The glasses?
Okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't alone on that,
pretty
right?
Similar, pretty
Do you want to tell all of them what we were called last night? We were called some mean things last night.
Boy, I'll tell you what. I don't know how you guys have been being responded to.
I don't even look at it.
You don't even look at the text messages. Mm-mm. Have you guys noticed, like, people are just a little on edge since this Schottenheimer hiring?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's usually pretty good for us.
Are they taking it out on you guys, too?
No.
Constantly.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Let's see. So last night,
I mean, Woolchuck and Schiaffalo are constantly sucking up to these guys in the text, right? So they built themselves, and like, they're all best friends with them, right? That was genius, by the way. You know,
it started off. We got a lot of pushback when you take over for KNC at night. Like, you take over, there's going to be people that hate you. Over the years, we ended up just changing their mind. Some still do. Some still think
we're not going to change their mind,
and they're not wrong.
I'm in the same boat.
We still get called the ass wipe seats from time to time.
So let's see. We were called, I was called abrasive.
We are.
What's that?
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm not saying they're wrong about it.
Freds were all nice.
Abrasive's not too bad.
No, look, I was also called racist.
Yes.
Okay. After making fun of Mike McCarthy.
Well, that's racist.
I don't know how that happened.
You call him fat?
What's that?
What?
I was told that you can tell who the white guy is in the room because he has no compassion.
That's exactly what was said.
Because Blake asked, should we feel sorry for Mike McCarthy?
That's hilarious. That's hysterical.
And so I said, why should we feel bad for Mike McCarthy? He made, what, $40 million as a head coach? Uh-huh. Like, is he going to the breadline? No. So why should we feel bad about Mike McCarthy?
And then they called him a racist.
And I'm apparently racist for that. So news to me. Didn't know that was possible. But, hey, learned something new last night. I'm abrasive and... Blake's dumb.
Yeah.
But they love it.
Yeah.
That's what they said. So
I was also, my voice was made fun of the entire text line night.
That was the best part.
The
guy calls in and says, glad I saw you, Blake. I thought you were fat and short.
Mm. He's got the voice of a fat, short guy.
And then everybody just texted and saying, you know what? Blake's voice does sound
now
fat.
Now that you mention it, you do have a fat voice.
Everybody the whole night. Because we took callers from the Tolos. And out of nowhere, they just said, you know what, Blake, before I end this call, I thought you were short and fat. Mm. Bye. Have a good night.
Fantastic. What a sign off.
Right.
So,
well, in their defense, a lot of sports radio people are.
Facts. But if they're on the Dallas fan cam, Twitch and YouTube, or at any remote, they've seen me. But I guess most people have.
I didn't recognize it at first, but there's a fat man Tony there.
Come on. That was impressive.
You sound like you just had a bunch of McNuggets.
Do I? I mean... I guess
cheeseburgers at the very least.
Then the guy said, then he said, no, I'm looking now. He's tall and skinny, which I didn't love either. Yeah. So I want to be athletic build.
You didn't love that.
6'4, 220. Yeah. That's tall what I want people to think
okay,
I sound
speaking
like.
Speaking of athletic, 6'4, 220, what are the Spurs going to offer for De'Aaron Fox? Like, are they just going to get him for free? I'm looking at their roster. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what do we have to give that's fair?
Biggest thing is going to be draft capital. I think they have 9 first round picks, got a couple second round picks, some pick swaps available. And you still got some young players. Sochan from Baylor's a good guy. Julian, I think, Champini is how you say his last name. There's a couple different guys on that roster that I think can make it work. Because for Sacramento, 10 seed right now, behind the Mavs, who have even been struggling, I think they're kind of at a blow it up stage because De'Aaron Fox and the front office aren't seeing eye to eye as far as an offseason extension, kind of like with Jimmy Butler, just not as volatile. So I think the hard part is guys like Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan all came there because of Fox. Now Fox might be leaving.
So that becomes the top duo, you think, in the league?
Ooh, that's a great
Fox
question.
Fox and Wemby?
I don't know if initially, because I don't know Fox, I'd have to really, defensive-wise, I think he's kind of average at it, so I don't know how that defensive team would look just outside of Wemby, but I think as far as eyeballs, as far as offense, explosiveness, obviously the Spurs become a lot better, and with Chris Paul maybe still staying there, kind of him training them up, I think that'd be a great little kind of point guard duo, if you will.
Here comes the Fan After Dark, Fred and Blake, 7 to 11 weeknights here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pim Cup at Master Control there. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chia Follow and Broadus, and I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.